Okay, so we are, welcome back, first of all, everyone from Pesach. Hope everyone had a nice Yontif. We are on Chafetz Amud Beis. We're going to start the top Mishnah on the Amud. And we're going to go until the two dots of Chafetz Amud Aleph, just so we kind of map it out. It's an interesting agat, it's an interesting halacha, and I'm going to try and bring in a little something from the Rishim HaShirim from the Rav, from the Reichman, the name of the Rav. So, and some other interesting things actually that I'll also try and share as well. And then followed by this year, we'll have Ian Chabur by Rabbi Grejian. So really great lineup tonight, interesting stuff, and excited to get back into the swing of learning. Okay, so let's get started. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, Hayem mispala b'knisasu lebeis hamedrash, he would say a tefillah when he came into the Beis Medrash in the morning to learn. And when he left, he said the small tefillah as well. By the way, what is this tefillah, which we're going to quote in detail in the Gemara? This is the tefillah which you will find, which we're about to quote, but you're going to find it in the beginning, if you find the first page in pretty much every Gemara, you will find the tefillah of Nechunya ben Hakana quoted in the beginning of the Gemara, so you can say it. Whenever you come to learn, then you should start, you should say this bracha that he said, that we're going to learn our Gemara tonight. And it says the same thing, B'yitziyaso, the same thing. If you look at the first page of the Gemara, you usually find the same thing. I'm sure it's in your scroll also.
One of the
first places. Depending on which Gemara you have, you have to find it. But it's going to be here somewhere. Yeah, look. You see it? You see it? Have you looked at it? Oh, I'm sure you have it there. Every set of shots has this. No, maybe you're too far ahead. You got to move back, pull back. No? One more. No? Yeah, find it. Oh, no. One more. Another page. No? Oh, I don't know. Your art school has it. It's in the back. Oh, in the back you have it. Oh, covered. No? I don't know. All right. We'll have to find it. I'll have to find it for you. But if you're looking for it, generally speaking, it's on the first page of the Gemara, or in the inset of the finding. All right. Anyhow, fine. So if you don't have it in your shas, you always remember is that it's on Daf Chaf Ches Mabez. It's going to be in the beginning of the Gemara. So we're going to get to it, and you'll see it in detail. And you all need it in your Gemara. All you need to know is it's Chaf Ches Mabez in Brachos. You always have it. Okay. Here we go. So Amrulo, the Hamidim says from the Chani Ben Hakana. What's the purpose of tefillah? So he said, when I come in to learn, I want to daven to make sure that no mistake happens through my learning. And when I leave, I want to give praise, I want to give thanks to Hashem from our special chelek that had the opportunity to learn. Okay, the Gemara is going to now detail what the bracha was. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, "Bichnisasu ma'hu omer." So I'm going to quote the entire bracha, and then we'll pause for a minute to give a little insight into the bracha. So the bracha is as follows: "Yiratim ofanach Hashem elokai shelo yara davar takala yadai." Hashem, I want please make sure that there should be no mistake that happens for me. Velo yachashel b'davar halacha. I should not make the wrong psak halacha. V'yismechu bichaverai, and my friends will be like happy with my mistake. V'lo omer al tamei tahor, v'lo al tahor tamei. I shouldn't by accident say that which is tamei, that's the opposite, or that which is tahor, and instead say it's the opposite. And furthermore, v'lo yichashlu chaverai b'davar halacha, I don't want my friends to make a mistake in halacha. V'esmach behem, and I'll be happy, I'll be excited that they made a mistake. Okay? That's his bracha when he went in. Now let's stop for a second to understand the following. It says, that my friends are going to be happy with me. What does that mean? Friends will be happy with him, right? Like when you're learning, right? There's a sometimes you're fighting in the learning, and if you are able to overcome your friend with an argument, or you find that your friend made a mistake, Chavrusa made a mistake, do you get happy? What does that mean that they were that he davens that they should be happy when he makes a mistake? Why are they being so happy when he makes a mistake? I don't understand. That's the first question. The second thing is, Rashi points out, it's interesting, just comment of Rashi. Rashi says, he says, v'lo echashel, that's the actual tefillah says, I shouldn't make a mistake in the davening, should make a mistake in my learning, and that they shouldn't be happy with my mistake. So Rashi says, If you look at the first Rashi in the Gemara, Rashi says, "V'yismuchu chaverai al kilshoni," that my friends should be would be happy with my error. V'harei ra'os shtayim. There's going to be two problems here. Number one is the mistake I made in my learning, and number two, she'avo al yadai, through my mistake, she'egrom lahem, I'm going to cause them she'an shu, that they're going to be punished by being happy through my mistake. Right? So that's interesting. Now, Rashi seems to say that there's really two separate things here, that they are making a mistake, and I'm causing them to be happy with my mistake. That's a separate problem. You should know that the Tosfos Yontif quotes the Rav Avajin Bar Tanura on this Mishnah, and the Rav Avajin Bar Tanura just says there's only one problem here. The only problem is that they should laugh and be happy about my error. But the fact that someone should make an error in learning, is that itself such a problem? We know you learn, you try your best, and sometimes you make the wrong judgment. And we know that the psak follows the rove. So if all the chaverim gang up on me and I'm wrong and they're right, the psak is like them. There's no problem. That's not an issue. I initially thought the other way. The psak halacha follows the majority. So there's no he points out that according to the Ravin Bar Tanura, the Rav Avajin Bar Tanura, he thinks the only problem here is that they should be happy. They should, like, you know, rejoice with the error that their friend made. But the fact that the friend made an error, that's never a problem. We sometimes make the wrong psak, and the psak follows the majority. You think one way, and everyone else thinks the other way. We follow them. That's not itself a problem.
It's human nature.
According to Rashi, it sounds like you don't even want yourself to make a mistake in halacha. Okay, it's interesting. Back and forth.
You don't want them to be happy that they accept your shot.
Oh, that's a great idea. So I'll say that I heard from Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter said that the psak, just like Evan, you're saying, this is what I heard from Rav Schechter. He said that he's concerned if I make a mistake and they catch me on the mistake, that's great. That would be fine. But what if they love my learning? What if Rav Chunya is saying, if I say a gevaldik chiddush, I say an idea, I say a psak halacha, v'yismuchu b'chaver, and they're like, wow, that's a great chiddush, and it's wrong. We're talking about where he made an error. He wants to make sure that if he makes an error in his learning, that they shouldn't like it, that they should fight him on it, they should catch him on it. He doesn't want a situation, the case we're talking about, is what Evan's saying, you're very right, is that he shouldn't make an error that they like. Make an error, fine. Let them fight him on it. That's what he's asking for. It shouldn't be that his friends make an error. He says the other way. His friends make an error, v'yismuchubi, and I like it. He doesn't want to make sure that if I'm learning, and my friend says a pshat in the Gemara, a pshat in the psak halacha that is incorrect, let me make sure I don't like it. Make sure, Hashem, that I should fight him on it, I should argue with it, I should be mevar the halacha to the emes. That's what he's asking for. That's the tefillah. Evan, shkoyach. Great idea. Okay, what's the tefillah he said when he left? Let's go back to the Gemara. It says, "V'yisiyasto mahu Omer." What would he say when he left the Beis Medrash? "Mod ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai shesam techel ki miyoshe Beis Medrash lo sam techel ki miyoshe Kronos." He gave me the place here in the Beis Medrash, and now to be mevatel in the streets. "Sha'ani mashkin v'hem mashkinim, ani mashkin l'divrei Torah v'hem mashkin l'dvarim b'teilim." So I'm getting up to learn; they're getting up to do things which don't have really any substance. Ani amel v'hem amelim. I work and they work. Ani amel umakabel sachar. I work and I get reward. V'hem amelim v'enim makabel sachar. And they receive reward. Now, the question is...
Do you know where it is?
I'm sorry, are you with us? Hello? Oh, we're in the Gemara. Are you asking where we're holding? Oh, okay, forget. So what does it mean that they don't get rewards? You know, I worked this week. I got a paycheck. I mean, I was learning. I'll also get tzar for tonight. We'll all get tzar for learning tonight. But I also got a reward for working. I got a paycheck. They also got tzar. What does it mean that we say that he gets reward, but they don't get reward? So what's interesting is like this. So I heard also as follows. Actually, it comes to a few places in Shas. We actually recently did in Daf Yomi and Bechoros Daf Vav in the Beis. It brings down that there was a person by the name of Rav Shimon HaAmsuni. Rav Shimon HaAmsuni was famous because he was Darish Kol Es the Es Shebetorah. Every Es. Every time it said S in the Torah, he was dorish that S in order to show how that S was including something else. And not only this, but S comes to include something. But when he got, the Gemara says, to the pasuk of S Hashem Lekecha Tira, how can there be something on the level that it includes that? You have to fear Hashem. That's the highest level of fear. How could that S say there's something else on that same level that it's coming to include? He couldn't understand how it could be anything else. So it said he was porish. He said, you know, it must be that all my times I thought the S was coming to include something was wrong, because here clearly there's a pasuk which S isn't including anything. So it must be S. The word S does not mean to be including anything whatsoever, and he retracted all of his drushos. The Talmidim said, how can it be? All the Torah that you taught, what happens about it? So he answered them, Kishem Shekab Ochar Al Hadrisha, the same way I will get reward for being Dorish, for learning all of those initial Essen, I gave a shot in what S meant to include, a Kabbalah Prisha. I will also get reward for pulling back and saying that's incorrect and retracting all of those insights that I made to say that they're wrong. So that, they say, is the shot in this tefillah. Because normally, if you build something, if you're working, and you spend the whole time on building a house, and the house collapses, you don't get paid for that. Right? If you go ahead and you work on some business deal and the deal collapses, you don't get paid for that. There's no monetary reward for the deals that collapse. But here, Rav Shimon HaMetzuni is saying that by Torah, he got reward when his whole house of cards, his whole idea that S is supposed to be darshaned. He's saying, I'm going to get reward even when I pull back on that. Even when it falls through, by pulling back and saying the emes is that that's not the case, the S is not darshaned, you even get reward in Torah for saying, you know something, the pshat I just gave, it's wrong, I'm taking it back. We're going to have to come up with something else. Even that, when you pull back on something and say, what I just told you for the last hour makes no sense, that's incorrect, right? That itself is, I remember in Shir once, I was in Rav Meir Tversky Shir, he was giving pshat in Tosfos, wherever it was, stopped in the middle, and he said, what I'm saying is incorrect. So he said, stop, we're going to pull back everything we just said, and we're going to start from something scratch tomorrow. Because, again, that's the, if you in Torah, there's reward, there's chayr, even for the wrong shot that we learned, even for pulling it back and saying that that's incorrect. So that's what he was asking for, which doesn't apply in other endeavors, other worldly endeavors. Okay, the end of the tefillah says, Heim ratzim ani ratz l'chai olam haba v'heim ratzim ber shachas. We, through running of the Torah, are running towards the everlasting Chayim Nitzli. Okay.
The Mishnah says that the tefillah on Yetziah is Sarah, but in that practice, it's longer than the tefillah when he enters.
It's not very tefillah Sarah.
Tefillah when he leaves is longer than tefillah when he enters.
Well, it's short relative to other tefillahs, I guess. I don't know. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. So we're up to two dots. Okay, where it's the two dots, Tana Rabbanan. Kishechala, Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer got sick, Nichnasu Tamidav Levakro, they went to visit him as students, so Amrulo, and they said to him, Rabbeinu, Lamdenu Or Chos Chayim, V'nizke Behem L'chayel Mava, teach us the ways of the world that we should be Zeicha to get to the world to come. Amar Lahem, so he told them, He's Haru B'chavu Chavrechem, make sure that you are careful to honor your friends. U'min'u B'necha Min HaHigayon, and prevent your son from the Higayon. Rashi says, what's Higayon? Rashi says, Lo targilim b'mikra yoser midai mishum b'mishcha. Don't teach them to spend too much time in learning psukim, like learning Tanakh, because it's like, you know, Tanakh is very interesting and a lot of stories in there, and they won't come to really focus too much of their effort in learning psak halacha and learning gemara and psak. So that you can't get too much involved in that alone. You have to also make sure that you spend time learning halacha and learning gemara. Okay, furthermore, the hoshivum ben birchei tamidei chachamim, make sure that you send even your little kids, even before they have the opportunity to really know how to learn, that they should spend time with tamidei chachamim, ben birchei tamidei chachamim, that they should learn their ways. They should learn the ways of the tamidei chachamim. They should learn the proper actions and derech eretz. U'kishtem es palim, and when you daven, du'u lefnei miyatem omdim, and know in front of who you are davening to. U'bishvil kach, tisku l'chayel mavan, because of that, if you do that, you will really merit the world to come. Ukeshechala Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got sick. Nichnasu tamidav levakro. His students also went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Kevin Shara Osam, when he saw them, his chilif kos, he started to cry. He saw his tamidim coming, he started to cry. Amrulo tamidav. The tamidim said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ner Yisrael, the light of Israel, Omud Hayamini, the right pillar, Patish Achazak, the strong hammer of Israel. Mipnei ma'ata bocha, why are you crying? You're a leader. You're the Gadol Hador. Amar lehem, ilu lefanai melech basar v'dam, if I'm going to come in front of a king of flesh and blood, hayu molichnosi, if that's who I'm going to be standing in front of, shayom kan u'machar bekever, who's here today and gone the next day. She'im koes alai, if that king gets angry at me, ein kaso kas olam, his anger is not everlasting. V'im osrani, he's going to punish me, ein isuro, Yisr Olam, it's also not going to be lasting. V'im misini, and if he's going to kill me, ein misaso misas olam, it's only in this world they will be killing me, not in the next world. V'ani yachol lefaisu b'dvarim l'shachto b'mamo, and I could appease him with words, I could give him a shochad, I could give him a monetary, kind of shmir him some money to kind of help my judgment out. V'afo pichen ha'yisi bochen, nonetheless, I would still cry before I would go before that kind of judgment that day. But now that I'm at the end of my life, and I'm going to be brought to Lifnei Melech Machem Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shu Chai B'Kayam L'Olam, Hu L'Omei Olamim, who is everlasting, Shim Koes Alai Kaso Kas Olam, his anger for me would be everlasting, Vim Mosrani Yisro Asar Olam, his punishment would be also lasting, Vim Miseni Misaso Misas Olam, it's a very final death. I cannot go ahead and I cannot somehow wiggle my way out with words or with money. And there's two paths in front of me. There's only two options. It's not like there's any middle road. I have some time to figure things out. Only one, two paths. And I don't know which path I'm going on. Can I not cry? So, the question is, how is it that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, right, the Gadol HaDor, as they said, he was the leader of the Jewish people. Remember, he was the one who helped Bnei Israel survive after the Churban HaBayit. How is it that he doesn't know if he's going to Gan Eden or to Gehenna? Is that really possible? So what they say is that the story, if you look back at the story at the time of the Churban HaBayit, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was in Yerushalayim. This is the story in the Gemara in Gittin. He was in Yerushalayim during the siege, the Roman siege on Yerushalayim. And he was somehow smuggled out in a coffin. He had to pretend he was dead. And he was brought in front of Vespasian, who was at that time the general. And this whole story goes that because he said he greeted Vespasian as a melech, and Vespasian said, I angry at him. I'm not the king, I'm just the general. He said, no, Hashem would only give over Yerushalayim to a king. And at that moment, word came from Rome that the Caesar had died, and he was appointed by the Senate to be the next Caesar, so he was now the Caesar, he was the king. So ultimately, Vespasian grants Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, it was all back and forth there, but he grants him a request. He grants him, I'll give you whatever you want. So he asks him, Ten li yavni he says, ask for three things, Ten li yavni v'chachameha, he says, to also give refuah to Rav Tzadok, the Rabbi Tzadok, the Tana, and also to as well to continue the there's like one last scion from Beis David, the last remaining relative descendant of Beis David also survives. Those are the three requests, and the problem is that the Gemara there says he should have asked. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai should have asked for the Beis Mikdash. If he was going to give him whatever he wanted, he should have gone ahead and said, don't destroy the Beis Mikdash. Conquer Yerushalayim, but don't destroy the Beis Mikdash. That's something he should have asked for. The way the Gemara says it is that Hashem kind of prevented him from thinking through it clearly, and he instead asked for these requests. Something he asked for, his logic was, if I ask for too much, he's not going to grant it. I'm not getting anything. And if you ask for too much, I'm not getting anything. At least I'm going to ask for this, and he'll definitely grant it. But it says, the Gemara is saying, but the knowledge of Hashem, or the real situation was, if he would have asked for it, he would have gotten it. He would have gotten even the Beis Mikdash. He would have. But he didn't get, he wasn't able to think in that way, so he didn't get it. So he wasn't sure. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, at this end of his life, was wondering, did I make the mistake? Did I ask for the wrong thing? Is it on my head that the Beis Mikdash was destroyed? And that's why he was concerned that perhaps he is not going to Gan Eden. That was his concern. Okay, let's continue. So Amrulo Rabbeinu, they said to him, Barchenu, give us a bracha. Amar lahem, yirasan shetei mora shemayim aleichem, kimora basar dam. In connection with what he just recently said, that he's fearing going in front of Melech Malachim Lachim, he's saying you should always have fear of Hashem, the way of Shemayim, the way you have fear of man. Why? So Amrulo Tamidov, Ad Khan. Like, that's what we should fear Hashem like I fear my fellow man? Like, shouldn't I fear my Hashem more than that? And he answers, Amrulam, Levi, the Levi. How Levi, you should have at least the fear of Hashem the way you have fear of people. Why? Because he says, Tidu, Kishadim over Avera. When the person gets a little taiva and he does the Avera, right? You do some, I don't know, something on Shabbos, something, so you have a taiva, you do some kind of Avera. So Omer, what the person says is, Shalom, you're on the Adam. I hope no one's looking. Who's always looking, right? Who's really, Hashem's always looking. What do you mean? He's looking, a person when he's doing a fair, look around, make sure no people are looking. So at least you should have the fear of Hashem, the way of fear of people, because you know really Hashem is always looking. And then you'll pause before doing an Avera, realizing Hashem is watching you. Bishat Tirasso, Rav Yochan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, Amar Lehem, Penu Kalim, he said, first of all, take the Kalim out of the house, the Secheres, right? They're earthenware jugs, they went in, they're in the room, are going to become Tameh, the Tnei HaTumah. V'hichinu kisei l'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda Shaba. And also prepare a chair of l'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda who died many generations earlier, either because, they say one of two things, either because he was a relative of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and a person's relatives who previously passed away come to melave their relatives, or they say that people of the similar stature, meaning everyone has, even in Gan Eden, different levels that they will attain, and people of their level come to welcome that person to that portion of Gan Eden, that part of Gan Eden. And Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda was on, they say, either his relative or he was on the level of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to come to melave him, to escort him. You know, sometimes you hear people say, I see certain family members who are here, and you know, passed away, and when people are on their deathbed. This is we have this in this Gemara here where he had visions of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda was coming to escort him to Gan Eden. Okay, we're now up to the second Mishnah on the page. So let's continue. Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, b'chol yom v'yom mispal adam shmon esrei. A person has to daven every single day shmon esrei, 18 brachos. Yeshua Omer me'ein yudches. He has to say like a portion of the shmon esrei, which is the whole discussion. What is Me'ein Shemon Esrei? We're going to get to it. Middle of the wide lines on next week's shir. It either means that you're somehow, you abridge each bracha of the Shemon Esrei to make it very short, or you just say bracha of what's called Havineinu, which actually is just one bracha, but it has two or three words from each of the 18 brachas in a string, in a row. So we'll save that discussion for next week. Rabbi Kiva Omer, it depends on the person. If you're someone who can daven easily well, then mispal yudches. You daven in the regular shmasrei. The imlav, if you don't have an easy, you're not able to daven easily, you have problems davening, challenges in your davening, or the inability to know the words well, then you can say me'ein yudches. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ha'osa tfilaso keva, ein tfilaso tachanunim. If you make your tila like a fixed burden, like I got a keva, let's do it now, let's get over with, then your tefillah is not—it's not really something that is appropriate. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, haholech mimakom sakana mispalel tefillah kasar. If a person is in a dangerous situation, daven a short davening. And what's a short davening? It's even shorter than a main shema esrei. It is the Omer. Hoshea Hashem es hamecha asheris Yisrael b'chol parsha sa'ibur. Go ahead and save the Jewish people, whoever's, you know, the remainder of the Jewish people, even when they are even the Avrayanim, even if they're doing the wrong thing, Yehud Tzarcheichem Lefanecha, their needs should be in front of you, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemeat Tfilah. That's what you should happen if you're in a situation where it's such a kana, you don't have time to even pause and say a short Shemeat Esrei. Hayrochei V'al Chamor, let's say also in a situation where your Tfilah Shemeat Esrei is inherently compromised. Hayrochei V'al Chamor, if you're riding on a donkey, we can get to that. So if you're riding on a chamor, so the best thing is yored v'yispala. You should get down and you should daven from there, from the floor. V'im einu yochol le'reid. If you cannot get down, yachzir panav. You should turn your head. What does it mean? The point is you should get down to face to your shalim. Because let's say your donkey is going west and you want to go. You have to face east. to Eretz Yisrael. So you should best get down and then face east. If you can't get down, you're on the donkey, turn yourself so you're facing in the proper direction if you can. If you can't even turn, then at least have your mind focused on the Beis HaMikdash. If you're on a boat or on like a raft, the assumption is that you can't really turn too much on the raft or on the boat. You might not be able to turn the direction. You certainly can't turn the boat around necessarily. So you should, again, have in mind the intention to go in the right place. What? Maybe you don't know which way. Is that Rashi says? I'm not sure. I think you may not be able to. So one thing just to point out over here, which deals with what Eitan said, so we'll see if we can quote really quickly from the Rishon Sherevel. He says that what you see Pasha though from this Mishnah is that it says if you're on the donkey and let's use the Meyer example, if you're in the car or you're on the airplane and you can get down, then meaning you can get into a standing position facing Eretz Yisrael, that's the best situation. But if not, you can be on the donkey and daven seated on the animal or seated in the car or seated on the plane and try and face the right direction or at least have the intention of facing the right direction. And you're Yotze. And he says this follows the Pesach of the Rambam, who says just like that if you stand in your Shemoneh Esrei, the standing is not ma'akev your Tzil Shemoneh Esrei. Meaning standing is not a critical component to your Shemoneh Esrei, and you can sit in your davening. There's a Tosos, which we might get to later on in Daf Lamed, so it's a few Amudim, who says that actually standing your Shemoneh Esrei is ma'akev. Now the problem is, if standing is a critical component to your Shemoneh Esrei, how does Tosos deal with this Mishnah, which clearly says that you can sit on your donkey and daven? So what he says, he suggests, the name of the Rav, is that everyone agrees, you can't argue with the Mishnah, everyone agrees that you could sit and daven. However, the question is, if you get shortly to a place where you then have the opportunity to stand, like if you're in the car and you daven, there's a rest stop. I didn't realize, I thought it was the next 58 miles. I didn't think I was going to have a chance to stop. And it wasn't safe to stop inside the road. But all of a sudden, I see a rest stop or I see a place I can turn off the road. But you davened already. Do you have to daven again? Was there something lacking in your Shemoneh Esrei that you should daven a second time? So he suggests what Tosos really means is not that it's ma'akev your tefillah that you weren't yotze at all. But it means that if you have the opportunity afterwards to daven the second time, you should. And according to the Rambam, according to Taras Nadava, and according to Rambam, no, you totally reyotze your tefillah, you do not have to daven the second time. And again, that's what I think most people do nowadays. If you're flying on an airplane, you have to daven. You shouldn't stand up in your seat. You can sit. You don't have to disturb everyone around you and put everyone in an uncomfortable situation. But you can sit in your seat if you're not able to stand. And you certainly shouldn't congregate in places that disturbs other people's situation, then you should simply sit in your seat and you're yotze. You don't have to feel like you're not yotze your Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hani yuches keneged mi." Where did they get the idea that it should be 18 brachas? Amar Rav Hillel, Breder Rav Shmuel, Bar Nachmini, keneged yuches haskaros, she Amar David de Havu Hashem Veilim. Right, we have the whole Kapitel Tehillim has 18 times the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei in it, the entire Kapitel. So that's because of those 18 times, and we stand, that's also the Sefer Torah is on its way.
No, Friday night, before
Lachadayim. Okay.
That's when we do stand.
And that capital has 18 times the name of Hashem, which is why they saw a remez to using that there should be 18 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Keneged Yudches Hatzkar Shubi Kriyashma. In all the three parashas of Kriyashma, you will find 18 times Yudkei Vavkei, the name of Hashem mentioned, and that is another source for 18 brachos. Amr of Tanfam, Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged Shemoneh Esrei, Chulios Shebeshidra. There are 18 bones in the spine. Now, I'm a radiologist, and I will tell you that there's 7 cervical vertebrae, and then there's 12 thoracic, and there's 5 lumbar. I don't know quite where they got to 18. There's different suggestions as to how they got to 18. I'm not sure which is correct. I don't know whether the first vertebra, which it kind of is a circular vertebra, it's not like a block. It doesn't really sit one on the other the same way as the other ones do. Maybe they were counting the 6th cervical minus the one that's the first one, which is called the axis or the C1. Maybe they weren't counting that one. They counted 6th cervical and 12th thoracic, and the lumbar wasn't counted. Or I don't know whether they were counting everything from the ribs down, so not the neck. So because the binion, the main structure of a person, is the 12th thoracic maybe then the lumbar, and then one sacrum, maybe the sacrum, which is where the, you know, that's also a maybe a vertebra as well, maybe. I understand. Well, I don't know, as I said, total, there's 7 cervical, there's 12 thoracic, and there's 5 lumbar. So I don't know, even if you cut out the 7 cervical, you end up with 17. I don't know how to count it. I'll be honest, I don't know, and unfortunately don't explain exactly how it is. There are a medical halachas farm that talk about this, so you can look there. Okay. The Amr of Tansum, Amr of Yishuv and Levi, Hamasal Tarach Shi Yachriya Achi Yitpakuku Kol Chulio Shebashidra. You have to bow down to the extent that all of the vertebra open up. They open, they kind of separate. That's how much you have to bow. Ula Amr Achi Kadeshira Isar Kenegad Liba. When you, the opposite, on your stomach side, when you bow over, your skin folds. So it, the amount that you're, when your skin folds, it puckers in a way that you could stick an Isar between the folds. That's another amount, but less. Not as much. That's considered a little less. Rabbi Hanina Amar, Kevan Shinana Rosho, as soon as you kind of bend your head down, Shuv Eino Tzarach. That's it. That's as much as you have to do. Rav Amar Rava, when Rabbi Hanina said, as soon as you bow your head down, that means, Hu Demitzar Nafshe, Umichti Kaman Zikara. Not just you go like this, but when you look like you're, you know, for sometimes people have back pain, they're not able to fully bow over, but when you make yourself look like you're, even just with your head, in a way that shows that you're trying as hard as you can to bow as much as possible. That would be sufficient as well. Okay, so there's 3 different possibilities. Gemara says, "Honey, Timnitrei, Shitzar Hagin." The Gemara says, if you look in our Shemester, there's not 18 brachos, there's 19 brachos.
For the
Malshinim, which is for the heretics. So Amar be lazy, Birchas Tzedukim. Now, by the way, this is an editorial thing. So the Gemara was, where the censor had taken out a word. So it was really for the, it should say the minim, it should say the heretics. We were making it for this, you know, for those splinter groups who splintered off of Judaism. So because the censor, like, you know, Christianity and other splinter groups, we were making a bracha against them, you know, against other, you know, minim, other heretics. So we wanted to, they took it out, they put stukim in there, but that was not really what this was meant to be. And they beYavne Tiknuha. They were misakin in Yavne, right? After the destruction of Beit Hamikdash, Kenega Mi Tiknuha. So Amar Levi, Rabbi Hillel Brei the Rishuv Bar Nachmei. So meaning, how did they, we saw there was a source to pattern 18 brachos based on how many times Shem Hashem came up? Where did they find that you could add one more? Where was the idea? They had to look at the source and see where could they add one more bracha. So according to where we were looking at the Rabbi Hillel, who said it's in the Kapitel Tum of Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, it's Keneged Kel HaKavod Hirim. The name Hashem, there's a 19th name of Hashem, it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's Kel, and they use the Shem Hashem of Kel to be a source for number 19 in the Shema Esrei. The Rav Yosef, of course, Rav Yosef, who said it was right in the number of brachos in Kriya Shema, Keneged Ach Echad, should be Kriya Shema. When you say Hashem HaKei Hashem Echad, the oneness of Hashem's name, that was their 19th opportunity to make a bracha. And according to Rav Tanchum, Amar Rav Shmuel ben Levi, Keneged Chuya Ketana Shebishudra, according to, it's a small vertebra. I don't know which is a small vertebra for sure. Some say it's the Luz bone. Yeah, the Luz bone is that small extra vertebra, which is a special spiritual power, whatever, you know, powers and stuff. That's the Luz bone that's going to resurrect a person in the time to get to Mason. They, some say that that was what it refers to, but again, that's the 19th bracha, the source. Okay, let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan, Shimon ha Tekuli, Hisir, Yudches brachos lefnei Rabban Gamliel. He was Mesader the 18 brachos in front of Rabban Gamliel, al haseder biYavne. Also in Yavne, you see, at the time of Yavne, they were reformulating the Shimon Esrei. What does it mean here that he was Mesader it? Who was Mesakim the Shimon Esrei? It was Ezra. It was much earlier than Yavne. They had the Shema Esrei established much before that. But they weren't sure. Yes, correct. They weren't sure, though, the precise order, the sequence. So he was Mesader, not that he was Mesaking it. He didn't write the text. He was Mesader in the sequence that they should be found, because perhaps it was forgotten exactly how the sequence should go. Amar Lahem Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said to the Chachamim, Klum yesh adam shiodeh l'sakein birchas ha-tzedukim. Is there someone here who can teach us the text? Meaning, what should be the proper formulation for the bracha of the minim? What should be the proper bracha? So, Amad Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan got up. v'tikna, and he established the proper tefillah. When Rav Sacks was here, Rav Yosef Sacks was here for Shabbos, you remember, if you were there Friday night, he said over, why is it, we know in the there's a lot of statements in the Pirkei Avos of a lot of different Tanaim. It usually says, Hu Haya Omer. They point out, what is Hu Haya Omer? So they say, usually the Baal Musar say, Hu Haya, that person was that Midah, and then he expressed a Midah, an idea that was who he was. It wasn't that he was giving you nice advice, but he's something else. Each person was trying to give you over something that was deeply enmeshed and rooted in themselves. Hu Haya, he was this thing, and he would say the following. So we have the same thing. What was it? How is it that Shmuel HaKatan was the person who would get up and he would be able to formulate a bracha that would be the downfall of Minim, of heretics who would potentially be Jewish? So, if you look in Pirkei Avos, it's in Perek Dalid Mishnah Yotah. It says, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach. His statement was, Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach. Do not rejoice with the downfall of your enemies. So with a person who would have the sensitivity to understand that you should not rejoice with the downfall of one's enemies, that's the kind of person who could be misakein the tefillah of the malshinim, al tisikva. Because we're davening for it, but he's not rejoicing in it. He understands the proper balance of how to misakein that tefillah. So that's why who it was. First of all, why is Yishmael HaKatan? We weren't trying to denigrate him. He wasn't a midget. The answer is, it's one of two things. Either they say because he was Maktinatmo, he was very humble. That's one possibility. He was Shmuel the Katan, who was very humble. Or they say he was a greater Shmuel. Who's the greater Shmuel? Shmuel HaRamasi, right? Shmuel HaNavi. So there was Shmuel HaNavi, but one small step lower than Shmuel HaNavi was Shmuel HaKatan. He was only Katan relative to Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel HaRamasi. But otherwise, he was a great, great, great person. He was, if he was in that other generation, the Gemara says, I think it's in the Sanhedrin, he would have been able to have Nevuah. That's how great he was. His generation didn't have Nevuah. But if he was in a generation that would have been on that level, that's how great he was. He was like Shmuel HaNavi. He could have had Nevuah. Okay. So, Lashana Acheres, he was actually very old at this age that he was in Yavne. He was known to be either 80 or somewhere 90, in his 80s or 90s. He forgot the bracha a year afterwards. He forgot the exact precise formulation that he had been misakin. The Hishkifa Shtaim Shlosha Shos. He was the Chazan. He's davening for them. Imagine the Chazan gets up there. He's in the middle of the bracha. And he's like, I cannot remember the exact formulation of the bracha. And he paused for 2 or 3 hours at the Amud, trying to remember what it was, focusing on what it was. Velo Heluhu, and they did not remove him from the Minchah. They didn't say like, get down, next, get someone else up there. Now, why is it Heluhu? They brought him up. Should say they took him down. So what is it? When we say a person gets up to the Amud, what we say? He was Yored Lifnei HaTeva. Yored Lefnei HaTeva, go down to Davin. Why does he go down to Davin? Because we say, Nima Makim Krasi Hashem, from the depth. There's a what? Yes. There's a shul, if you've been to the Gudda in Baltimore, the Gudda shul in Baltimore actually has a cut in pit. Yeah, it's a step down. Literally, it's a cut into the floor and a step down. I'm sure there's maybe other shuls in the country, but literally, the person steps down to be the Chazan. Yared Lefnei HaTeva literally was the way it is. Nima Amakim, they daven from a lower point. The Chaz is not a bima. He's actually a step lower than all the other Nisalim. So therefore, if someone's going to be removed from the Tzila, from being the Chaz, he's Ola. He comes back up. That's the why he calls it Ha'eluhu. An interesting way of understanding now the understanding of language.
So
Lo'eluhu, they did not, he was the Chazan. He was in the middle of repeating the Chazar Shashat, and he could not remember the exact formulation of the bracha of the Lamal Shinim Al Kitikva. He didn't remember exactly what he had, and he was the one who was in the sack in it. They didn't have to determine in those days. Yeah. No, think about it. In this time, the Gemara wasn't even written down. Who's the first sitter? Like, if Amram Gaon had a sitter, the sitter even follows the writing of the Gemara. The Gemara is written down, they didn't have a sitter yet. The Gaonim wrote down the sitter. Yeah, if Amram has a sitter, if Hagar has a sitter. They didn't have to do them. They daven by heart.
One scribe to get one sheet.
They may have notes, but they didn't daven from the siddur. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. I know you're asking. Okay, so my
yes,
for 2 or 3 hours he couldn't
Remember?
He's sitting there trying to focus and remember. He couldn't remember for 2 or 3 hours.
They didn't pull him out of the table.
No, they didn't pull him out. They have great respect for him. They let him try and remember.
Oh, okay.
Amai Lahulu. The question is, why did they not remove him? Why not?
Why did they correct him?
No, they didn't know it. No, they didn't even know. No, they know. If they knew it, they would whisper in his ear. Of course,
yeah.
They would have.
Uh-huh.
This is only a number. Within the year of establishing a new bracha that never existed. So it wasn't widely known.
Right.
And people didn't have Siddurim. So this was not something everyone knew. And generally speaking, they were often relied on the chazan that they were yotzi with the chazar sashat. So va'amar of Yehuda v'amarav ta'a b'chol ha-brachos. The person makes a mistake in one of the other brachos shemesrei. B'chol ha-brachos kulon. Ein ma'alosog b'birchas. Ein ma'alosog. We do not remove him from being chazan. B'birchas ha-sedukim. If a person makes a mistake in the bracha of v'lamashinim, ma'alosog, you remove him. Because maybe we're concerned he's a heretic. He doesn't want to make a bracha that curses himself, and that's why he's not saying it. So that's our concern. So we remove him from the chazi. So the answer is Shiny Shmuel Katan, the Ihu Takna. He was misaking this bracha. He was misaking the bracha, so we were not concerned about him. The Gemara says, Venechus Dimah Hadarbe. Maybe he was misaking and then changed his mind and became a heretic afterwards. So Amar Abai, the Abai says, Gniri, I have a tradition, Tava lo havibisha. A tzaddik does not become a rasha. That's his tradition. And Shmuel HaKatan is such a tzaddik. I can tell you, we could guarantee that he wasn't a heretic. Guaranteed. Mar says, Velo, is that really not true that a tzaddik can't become a rasha? It says, Zak says, Ubishuv tzaddik mitzikato v'asa avel. A tzaddik can return from his ways and do crooked stuff. He could do it the wrong way. And the Pasuk that says it. So the Gemara answers, no, how Rasha Mi'ikaro, a person who started out being a Rasha, he became a tzaddik, then he can go back to his initial evil ways. Of a tzaddik Mi'ikaro, if a person was initially a tzaddik, lo, he will not go back to becoming a Rasha, or become a Rasha. Gemara says, v'lo, is that really true? V'hatnan, al tamim ba'asmecha ad yom mosecha. Don't trust yourself. Like, don't get too, like, comfortable, cocky in your religiosity. Always be careful to make sure that you're doing the right thing, because you could make a mistake and somehow end up doing the wrong thing, becoming a Rasha. How do we know that? Sharei Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There was a Yochanan who was a Kohen Gadol. If we have time, we'll talk about him. Shimesh Bekuna Gadola Shmonim Shana. He served 80 years of the Sof Nasa Tzduki, and he then became a Tzduki. He became, a heretic. Heretic, right? The point is, he's proving the rule. That even someone who was a tzaddik for so long, it's possible that someone goes back, some event happens, something, causes him to question.
He was in Kodesh HaKadosh.
Right? Yeah. This, again, unbelievable. Impossible to believe. But this is a known situation. In fact, Amar Abaye, who Yanai, who Yochanan. Yanai HaMelech, who is a bit Kashmonai, he's the same Yochanan Kohen Gadol that we're talking about. Now, if we have a moment, let's just talk. Who is Yana? Well, it's just finish this. Rav Amar, Yana Elchud Yochanan Lachod. There was Yana Melech, and then there was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. He's two separate people. So the Gemara explains, Yanai Rasha Mi'ikaro. Yana Rasha Mi'ikaro. Yanai was a Rasha in the beginning. And therefore, he was able to go back to his evil ways. He was a Rasha, became a Tzaddik, went back to being a Rasha. But Yochanan, Tzaddik Mi'ikaro, Yochanan was always a Tzaddik. We're talking about two people here. So the Gemara says, I understand the course of Abaye. Abaye said the Yanai is Yochanan. And therefore, I can understand that Yanai started out as a Rasha, became a Tzaddik, went back, became a Kohen Gadol, became back to being a Rasha again. I get that. And therefore, the case we're talking about by Shmuel HaKatan, he was always a Tzaddik. That's why we weren't concerned that he might become a Rasha. Understood. But according to Rava Kasha, Rava says the two people, Shimon, who was Shimon Kohen Gadol, Yochanan, who was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, was a different person. He was never Rasha. How could it be that he became a Rasha afterwards? He was always a tzaddik. So Gemara says, Amar Lecha Rava, tzaddik mikar nami demahadabe. It's actually possible that even a tzaddik who was his whole life a tzaddik, never Rasha, could, because of some situation, could become a Rasha. Possible. Ihachi amayaskuhu. So if that's the case, then it's possible that Shmuel HaKatan, he could have been a Rasha. He could have changed his ways to become a Rasha, because even though he was always a tzaddik, he could have gone back. So lama lasku, why didn't they take him down from being a chazan? when he was like stopping the bracha of Nashinim. My answer, Shaini Shmo Akatan, the Askuba. He started the bracha. He didn't skip the bracha. He started. He was trying. He just forgot it. He's clearly not a heretic. He was trying to say it. That's not a sign. And that's what we said earlier. We said maybe he changed his mind about, but clearly he's trying to say it. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, he's him of Yeshua ben Levi. Lo shana el shelo hitzchuba. If a person, the only time you remove him from being the chazan is if he had not started davening. But if he has started the tila of the lamashinim, gomra, he can finish it. He's clearly just trying to find the words. He's not actually a heretic. So just to give a little, we have, I think, unless regular, it's fair. Okay. Chill, good. I'll just very, very, very briefly, we'll stop.
Oh, the Gemara says, tell him. He didn't make a mistake, though.
He couldn't remember it, yeah.
He remembers.
Yeah,
mistake.
Right. The question is, was that the point that we're now saying is that it was his situation was clear that it was a mistake.
Right.
That they recognized it as a ta, not as a, like, don't, like, he wasn't skipping it, yeah. The history, you have, there was a Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was the father of Matisyahu, and his name is Matisyahu. Matisyahu had a son whose name was Shimon.
Wait, was it Yochanan?
In the time of the Chashmonaim, there was a Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was the father of Matisyahu. Matisyahu then had a son who was Shimon. Remember, they became kings?
Yochanan is one of the sons,
And then his son, then Shimon's son, was named after his great grandfather Yochanan. So Shimon, who was the son of Matisyahu, Matisyahu had a grandson whose name was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And the question is, this Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he's the person we're talking about. He's the fourth generation now of Kohen Gadol. If he's Yanai, so the story with Yanai is as follows. What was the story with Yanai? What did Yanai do? Yanai killed the Chachamim, killed the rabbis. What was the story? The story was that he had coming back from some tremendous battle. He was victorious. And he made a feast. And one of the Rishon, there's this Russia there, who told him, the rabbis who are at your feast, they don't really trust, they don't believe you're a good person. They said, how do I know? How would I find out if they think I'm a good person? Well, you're a Kohen. Put on the tzitz. Put on the tzitz, like you're the Kohen Gadol. And the Yana is the question. Was Yana Yochanan? Was Yana the Kohen Gadol or not? So here's the story. So Yana put on the tzitz, and they told him, take it off. Why? Because his mother was captured. She was a captive. And the halacha is the Kohen cannot marry the captive, not married to her, and he therefore was a halal. He was not allowed to be a Kohen. He's not a kosher Kohen. He was not, could not be a Voda.
Right.
And therefore was not allowed to wear the tzitz. And he thought that the rabbis were rejecting him, saying, you're not a good person. You can't wear the tzitz. You're not a real Kohen. And he was like, I'm a real Kohen. He thought they were putting a stain on his family and stain on him. And therefore he killed out the rabbi. He only kept Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach was his brother-in-law. And Shimon ben Shetach, that's the story, Shimon ben Shetach reinstituted the Talmud Torah and Torah Klai Yisrael through that situation. But that's the background behind that story.